Hashtag Kangaroos.
Hi, this is Ben McKay from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host,
Dean Vasek.
Let's go, Kangas!
David Uniac getting early possessions. Cunnington for the dream start. Cunnington for 35. They come from everywhere, and the party starts early for the number 10. What a wonderful, wonderful scene.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So this morning, early Sunday morning, I was joined by Frank and Mark to go through our trade period. It was pretty much the only time I could get these boys on. Very busy lives. They're both in their cars at the moment when I was doing the interview. So yeah, fun times. But there was a lot to go through. I talked about players for next year and what positions they might go through. So yeah, there was a lot to go through. Let's not waste any more time. Bring on Frank and Mark. Hello, right now.
Mark, hello, and Frank Descalzo. Welcome back on this early Sunday morning here. A little bit to go through, so let's get straight into it. Mark, how did you see this trade period? Would you rate it as a success?
Yeah, I thought, at the end of the day, you've got five selections in the first round and picks two and three and brought in four players that fill specific needs, and I think those four certainly do, then I think that's a pretty good result. I know some supporters thought as they heard Ginnivan and other players become available, that we should have had a crack at them. But that would have just been a last-minute thing for the sake of the fact they were available rather than they were part of the long-term strategy. So I didn't have any issues with anything they did, to be honest. I thought it was pretty much spot on. They had a crack at getting pick one, and they had a crack at potentially Melbourne's pick and Geelong's pick, and that's probably still ongoing, although it's seemingly more unlikely. Overall, I thought Brady did a really good job.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people would agree with that. Frank, we've brought in Zach Fisher, Dylan Stevens, Bigoa Nguyen, and Toby Pink. They've all come, through a delisted free agent. Any of those players excite you, or which one excites you the most, I guess?
I think Stevens and Fisher are probably going to be upgrades on your Halls and Zeebles, I guess. I don't think they're going to – I can't see us them being real dial-turner type guys that move us up quickly. Biggie, I guess, look, that one's potentially an interesting one because at least – he fits a need that we desperately need. So it'd be interesting to see whether he comes straight in or he's a bit of a bit more of development needed in him. But I guess maybe Dylan Stevens, Dean, is probably one that I'm interested to see how he goes. Played some decent footy at Sydney. So, yeah, excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're like game winners or anything like that, but they can certainly play a role for the team. And they've got a bit of versatility. And I think that's one of the reasons why we got Zach Fisher and Dylan Stevens. They can play halfback, wing. Zach Fisher could even play as a small forward if needed, which we'll talk about soon. And Toby Pink certainly comes in for as a potential replacement for Ben McKay. What about you, Mark? Any of those players really excite you?
Well, I've always been a fan of Zach Fisher. I think he's a very good player. I know he fell out of favour a little bit at Carlton this year, but when he played, particularly the last part of the season, and my understanding is they didn't want to lose him. They saw him as a big part of their plan. So I think that's a big coup getting him. He's quick and he's got good decision making and he's good foot skills. And of course, Clarko loves a left footer and he's got a couple of left footers. So I think we've added speed. I think there's plans to add even more of that during the trade period. And no doubt that's one of the reasons they're looking at someone like McKerch. And I'm sure we'll talk about that. But obviously Pink and Biggie, they're going to fill roles. I think the plan is for Charlie Comben to also play down back. He's certainly going to train with the defensive unit over summer as another option there. So I think they've – and that was probably – most supporters were most worried, obviously, with that with Logan Mackay going out, how we're going to cope with that. So I think Pink was an excellent choice. He's been in the system before. He's fought hard to get back in. He's dominated at Sandford level and in the grand final there, and he looks very composed. So I think he will start the side. I'm sure Biggie will be more of a longer term project, but he's very athletic and he's got the height and the athleticism. So yeah, he's got the potential, and it was hard to get into that Richmond defense because they had plenty of options back there. So I don't think he'll necessarily start in the side, but I think he's going to be a good option, and hopefully they'll add a few more key position players in the draft period.
Yeah, no, well, we certainly hope so. I mean, Frank, where do you see Zach Fisher playing now? He looked very good on a halfback flank. I think, you know, if he's got to have one position, I think might play multiple roles. Where do you think he sort of fits in best at this current situation?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Zach goes to halfback and maybe Sheasel gets his turn up on the half forward line. Might be the way things play out, and then you think again, Hall and Zeeble gone. We probably need to start finding replacements in the back line, and that's how I see it happening. Dean, is you probably start there. Sheasel may go forward if things don't work out. They may swap them, you know, one for one.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. Like, he averaged, I think, 26 possessions in the last 4 weeks of the season for Carlton. Got dropped for the finals when they started getting their players back. But, yeah, I think that's the role we've got earmarked for him. And he has spoken to Clarkson about that, and Clarkson has told him that probably that's going to be his position. Mark, Biggie Newell. Now, he's a bit of a lottery ticket, only one game in the last 4 years. He might be an option. I think they're going to develop him as a forward. Now, that's what I'm hearing. I've spoken to a couple of Richmond people, and they sort of said, yeah, he looked okay as a forward because of his athleticism. He kicked 2.7 in a VFL game against GWS halfway through the year. Now, I mean, what do you think? Like, we don't have – if you're obviously talking that Charlie Commons is going to go in the back line. And at the moment, I mean, outside of the draft, I don't know what we're drafting. We don't have a second forward, like maybe Callum Collins-Jones, but it's not a huge competition, and the jury's still out on him. Could that be a possibility? You think that's why they brought him in as a second forward that can go in a pinch hit in the ruck?
Yeah, I did hear you the other day on the show the other day talk about the fact he'd kicked 2.7, which is pricked my ears up. So I would imagine Clarko likes players to be flexible in terms of where they play. So it might be that both he and Comben are options at either end next year. That's interesting to hear that they might look at him as a potential forward as well. So, I mean, if you've got these guys that are nearly 200 centimetres, both Comben and he around that height, and if they've got the agility and they're not bad when the ball hits the ground, and I think that's my worry with Callum Coleman-Jones up forward is if he doesn't mark it, he seems to be out of the play again, which, you know, that's even worse with X in terms of when he's down there. But whereas Coleman's, it stays in the play when the ball's on the ground. And I think that's what I liked about him playing early in the year before he injured his leg, that even if he wasn't marking the ball, he was tackling, he was involved, he was picking up ground balls. And I think Callum Coleman-Jones, if he's to be successful, he's going to really have to start clunking his marks and try to make himself useful when the ball hits the ground as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll talk about more positions towards the, you know, later, a bit later in the show. But there's a few players I want to talk to you about. In particular, yeah, probably Callum Coleman-Jones as well. Frank, now, we seem to have done all our deals by Wednesday on the first week in a trade period. Do you think we could have been a bit more aggressive and maybe looked at a key forward who isn't getting an opportunity in another club, or a small forward somewhere like Jack Billings, who went pretty cheap in the end? I think Melbourne just had to take on 2 years of his contract. Any thoughts on that, or were you quite happy just to let him pass because there was no needle movers anyway that was left to take?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty happy where we are, Dean. I'm glad we didn't let go of pick 2 and 3. I don't think Jack Billings is, not that exciting. I'm just happy that we managed to hang on to our picks and and didn't, you know, give away too much in the pursuit of someone that wasn't getting a game somewhere else.
No, fair enough. Mark, there was talk about Jack Darling early in the trade period. Still got 2 years on his contract. I'll say it would have been a salary dump. Do you think we could have even gone for a mature key forward just to help out for a couple of years with Nick Larkin?
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded it, given we've got no 18, 19-year-olds sitting at the club at the moment that they need to get games into on the forward line. It's really Callum Coleman-Jones or Convin, and one of those guys, and Charlie looks like he could well be playing back next year. So, yeah, there would have been certainly no harm in it, but I think develop and have a run at it there in a couple of young guys through the draft. I don't think it would have been a negative if someone like Jack Darling had come through, but I don't think it matters on the other side of that they didn't do it.
No, fair enough, Mark. Frank, delistings happened the other day. Jack Marnie, Aiden Bonner, and the one that hurts the most for you is Kane Turner, obviously let go as well. Are you surprised by any of those in the end? Because they kept them on the list there for a few weeks and kept them in limbo, and in the end they just delisted them anyway.
No, don't think there was any surprises there, Dean, to be honest. Whether one of them gets back on the list via the rookie draft or something, no surprises for me. I think that, unfortunately, Marnie just hadn't done enough. Bonner had been tried in a few spots and, you know, battled. And, you know, Kane is, came in, was a role player at best. But, yeah, they're always going to struggle.
I agree with that. Mark, I mean, yeah, any of those players surprise you when you got delisted, like Jack Marnie, Kane Turner? I could sort of understand Aiden Bonner, but maybe one of those other two could have been kept on, but obviously you probably won't agree.
I thought Bonner was the only one that they might have kept on just for a bit of insurance for the back line. He can play as that third tall, although I think he's a little bit, probably 5 centimetres too short to play that role. But he does a reasonable job when he's had to do it. They might bring him back as a rookie. Out of those three, he'd be the one that I think they might, you know, would have some chance of coming back. That said, the club sounded very definitive about it. And the other thing that made me straight away, as soon as I heard that announcement come out, I thought, okay, we're going with 5 selections in the draft, but that'll have to play out. But it's left quite a few list positions required.
That's exactly right. That's what I thought, maybe. Frank, now, I tweeted this a couple of days ago, that we only have Robert Hanson and Blake Drury as our small forwards on our list. Unless you think there's someone else, maybe Paul Curtis, and you mentioned Harry Sheezel a little bit before, do you think he could push forward as a small forward next year?
I think he'll get given the opportunity, seeing that he played most of his junior footy in that role. I think he'll be given the opportunity. But saying that, you know, we probably still miss that really genuine pressure small forward. Whether, you know, there's someone in the draft that they've got their eye on, time will tell. But, yeah, we probably still don't have one of those genuine crumbing small forwards at the moment.
And yet the talk is that we're not looking at Watson, which is surprising.
Yeah, no, I think from what I understand, he won't get past Hawthorn maybe pick 5 by that stage. So yeah. I think they're very, very keen on him from what I've heard.
Yeah, we'll talk about the draft hand in a minute. Mark, yeah, I mean, like, you're probably thinking, outside of someone of those two, like Robert Hanson and Blake Drury, that do we have anyone else? I think you might have tweeted this the other day that we've got maybe Paul Curtis could be the small forward. Is there anyone else you think?
Well, I think they're looking at Curtis as a small forward as well as Harvey. Yeah. Harvey, neither of those two players are super fast or have shown themselves at this point to be super defensive in terms of tackling, as Frank just pointed out. So that's me is, and then that's where Turner.
Oh, I think I've lost you, Mark.
Okay.
We sort of missed that last part, just the last probably 20 seconds. What was that you're sort of saying? No, we've lost Mark at the moment. So, yeah. Well, go to the draft hand, Frank. Now,
work on, because we've got a lot of those mid-sized forwards.
Okay, well, we've sort of missed half of that, so I'll miss most of that, Mark. I think you cut out there for a second. Just go with that. What was the last probably 20, 30 seconds you're sort of saying?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, well, I can hear you loud and clear now.
Must have gone through a bad spot around Lennox head. I was just saying, as a group, they're just going to have to nail that defensive tackling. Like, we've got a lot of players around that mid-size forward, whether it's Ford, Zerha, George is another one next year, Curtis. They all can take a mark, and they're all reasonably quick. We haven't got anyone who's lightning quick, and Hanson Jr. might need to be that player. But as a group, they're just going to have to get better at their defensive tackling, I think.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what they're probably looking at. I mean, I guess round 23 is an indication of how we want to play. We want to play fast and quick and, certainly put scoreboard pressure on. So it seems to be the modern-day football. Worry about the offense first and then the defense will take care of itself. Frank, the draft end of 2, 3, 15, 17 and 18, do you think we go in with that hand at draft time? I mean, I think we've tried to talk to a couple of clubs about packaging 15, 17 or 17, 18 or something like that to go up to in the top 10, but it doesn't look likely at the moment, does it?
No, it doesn't. So I know, I think Kel Toomey's Phantom Draft had Riley Sanders at, I think, 7 or 8. I figured that would be maybe something that we'd look at with the connection that we've got with him. But certainly not buying into the stories that I saw out of West Coast supporters about, 2 and 3 for a straight swap for one. I pray that we don't fall into something stupid like that. I think 2 and 3 and maybe package up those two if we can. Otherwise, just go in with that hand.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it's playing out that way. Mark, what would you like to do instead of going up to one, which is a ridiculous asking price for Harley Reid? So that's pretty much out of the question. I think we've pretty much asked a question of Melbourne and Geelong, but it looks like the price is a little bit too high at the moment just to go up to that sort of area of 6 or 8. Do you think we just hold?
I do. I really do. Yeah. I think it would be the long-term future of the club could be decided in this draft. I think at a minimum, I think we need to take 4 players. So if it requires them to just give up too much, then I think they're just going to have to hold firm. They're going to get 2 brilliant players at 2 and 3. They're very keen on McKercher. He's a beautiful kick. He's quick. He gives us outside and inside, and particularly the outside part that they're looking for. He can play on the halfback flank if required. He can play on the wing. He can play as a mid. So I think he's perfect. Dersma's got X factor. He's very dangerous forward and also can go in the midfield. So I think those two sound to me excellent. That they seem to be the two guys they're looking at. Albeit, I wish they were looking at Watson because I just think he fills such a specific need for us. But I understand why they might not. And then there's going to be 3 very good players, with what will end up being the early 20s when we get those other 3 picks. So unless I'd love them to be able to get Geelong's pick or maybe do something with Melbourne 6 and 11, but if the asking price is too high, just hold firm, and we're going to have 5 very good young players coming to the club on the back of 2 or 3 years of a lot of high draft picks. So, I think the whole Clarkson disaster with the racism saga last year was a nightmare. But at the end of the day, it's probably created a situation where we got priority picks from the AFL. We got Clarkson rested and probably back to his best. And I think it's put us in a really good position going into this off-season and going to next year.
Yeah, no, I agree. Frank, draft targets. Like Mark sort of mentioned, Colby McKercher, Zane Dersma, and that's the players I'm hearing as well. Now, they are midfield and half forwards, respectively. Obviously, Colin McCurtin, if he came into the AFL system, would probably start on a half-back flank. We seem to be stacked in those two positions, in particular, half-forward and midfield. What do you think? Should we do what Mark says? Get a Nick Watson, fills a need. Or a Daniel Curtin, fills another need. Those types of players? Or do you think you just go best available?
It's an interesting one because it's really... having looked at the draft, the Phantom draft, it's really Curtin, and then it's kind of daylight until the next sort of key defenders start coming in the late teens, early 20s. But taking Curtin at 2 or 3, I think, might be a bit early. So, yeah, I'd probably look at the best available and then hoping that at 15... 17 and 18 or whatever it is, it looks like there are a number of even Victorian-based key defenders that should be hovering around that spot. So that would be my only take, Dean, is if we go for best available at 2 and 3, that 15, 17 and 18 are used on needs.
No, yeah, that's fair enough. There is a small forward people were talking about that's going to be available around a 10 or 11. I couldn't think of his name, to be honest with you. So, yeah, it might be a possibility that it might even slip down a little bit because small forwards tend to go. What was that, Mark?
Oh, sorry, mate. I was just going to say, I was wondering if you're thinking about Collard. But he's another small one. I think it's available late. He could be available in the late teens, early 20s, they reckon.
Oh, well, yeah, that's certainly a possibility. And maybe that's how the club are certainly looking at it. Yeah, a player like Colby McKercher, if he came to the club, he's got a beautiful left foot, good engine. He's a player that could certainly go into the half-back flank. Zane Dersma, that's probably the interesting one, I'm thinking. Very good half-forward. He's kicked 33 goals in 10 games. A lot of class about him. But whether we need that sort of position going forward, I'm not too sure. Mark, now we have Wardlaw, Phillips, Simpkin, LDU, Tarryn Thomas as your five, probably best five midfielders for next year. You might even get Harry Sheasel get in here a little bit next year as well. We don't need Harley Reid that badly, do we?
No, I think the part of the appeal with him again is that he's very dangerous as a powerful forward in the Martin type, and very composed as a half-back. So he gives them flexibilities. I think that's part of the appeal, and obviously he's a class above in terms of talent, but not worth 2 and 3. You know, you're not going to give up McKercher and Dersma for Reid. That's just not going to happen. But you might well give up pick 2 or pick 3 and then 2 in the teens. They may consider... pick 3 in a future first, something like that. I don't think we're going to be prepared to give up. If we're going to do that, I think we'll be demanding that we're still able to have access to McKercher. You know, I think they're absolutely set on getting him no matter what. I think they almost see him as important as Reid. So at the moment, I can't see us getting pick 1. I think it's dead in the water, personally.
No, not for that asking price. Frank, have we sort of made it... a bit too complicated now by winning the round 23 game against Gold Coast?
Oh, look, I don't think so, Dean. I still thoroughly enjoyed that victory, and I'm a big, probably, you know, maybe a bit old-fashioned, but I'm a big subscriber to, you know, a winning culture, and getting those wins are really important. I don't think I would have liked to have gone into the draft and the off-season knowing we'd lost 3 in a row or whatever, and then then go into the draft with pick 1 and 2. I think it just puts a lot of pressure on the kids coming in. Spectators sometimes and supporters think that if you've got 1 and 2, you're going to revolutionise the club overnight. So I'm more than happy that we won the last game and have gone in with pick 2 and 3.
That's a great point. You look at the West Coast supporters going on about Reid. You'd think one player is going to completely change their fortunes for the next decade. It doesn't work like that.
And I worry, Mark, as to what pressure it puts on a guy like Harley Reid.
Mm.
You know, all of a sudden, I think supporters are far more patient with a pick two and three as far as a slow burn goes. And if they don't get a game till round 8 or 9 or 10, I think supporters and the media are far more patient than a pick one.
I agree.
No, that's totally understandable. So, there's no problems with that. Very well said there, Frank. Now, I want to talk about players that are at our club and where you think they might line up position-wise in round one next year. I'll go with you, Mark. We'll start with the BNF winner, Harry Sheezel. You know, I think you might have mentioned that he might push up the ground a little bit, you think?
Yeah, I think, Frank was saying that, and I agree. Yep. I think he'll play forward mid this year. I think he'll be very similar to what the transition of Nick Dacos this year, except I think he'll probably play more forward than mid, whereas Dacos was probably spend most of the time in the midfield. I think Sheets will go forward. If he's struggling, the ball's not getting down there, or he's struggling to get his hands on it, they'll throw him into the midfield or even throw him in the back line just to make sure he stays involved in the game. But I think they'll like to see him do some damage forward of the centre this year.
Yeah, no, that's going to be an interesting one, actually. I'm really looking forward to what they do with him pre-season next year. Because he is a former Best and Fairest winner, and he did look good off the half-back flank, but maybe he's a bit wasted there. I'm not too sure. And they are certainly getting other options that can play that role, by the sounds of it, with what they've traded in for. Frank, who's going to be the number one ruckman? Round one, 2024, next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to have to be Tristan Cherry. I know that probably makes a number of supporters somewhat nervous, but I think it's going to be Tristan Cherry. And then it's daylight, as far as we know. Unless Hamish Free puts in a blinding pre-season, or Coleman Jones finds another gear, but looks like Tristan Cherry.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think Callum Coleman Jones can surpass him at this stage for the number one spot?
I'm not saying that Tristan Sherry's set the bar at a height that just there's no chance someone can go past him, but I didn't see much from Coleman Jones this year that made me think that he was, pushing for that mantle. I still think it's Tristan Cherry, but, we certainly need some support there. He's not going to do it on his own. We know that. So whether it's Coleman Jones or Free or someone else, it's going to be a tough ask for Sherry, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't see enough from Hamish Free to say that he's going to surpass anyone. And I don't mean to write off his career just yet, but he is 25 and he averaged like 2 marks a game in the VFL last year. He didn't show me any signs that he's going to, he's AFL ready or anything like that. But so here we go. Mark, you've already mentioned this man, Charlie Compton. You think he's going on the back line next year?
I do. I think the thinking at the club is that he needs to get some continuity into his footy. Given all the injuries he's had, and we've seen in the past players that have been injury prone, key position players go back, and it gives them opportunity to stay on the park. And I think that's exactly their thinking with him. I think he's ferocious in the air, and he's good with his tackling. So I can see him being super competitive down there. You obviously have to learn game plan and strategy in the defensive zone that Clarko does, but he's a Northman through and through. He loves the club, and I think he's going to have a great year next year. And look, if that doesn't work, they can throw him forward, or if the other guys they've brought in are playing well, that gives them the option of taking him forward then as well. I'm pretty confident if he does train with the defence that he'll be in that starting lineup in the back line at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about that. Even Lee Montagna mentioned that on the other day during the trade show or the trade summary. I'm looking I'm very interested to see what transpires there. I'd still like to give him another go in a forward line next year, but obviously if his body's not holding up and he's getting bad luck as a forward, yeah, I don't mind that option as a defender as well. Frank Curtis Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah. Where do you think he might line up next year? Or do you think he lines up next year?
I think his spot might be under pressure, Dean. I think the Curtis Taylor that we saw this year may begin to struggle. I think he probably played his best footy on the wing half forward. But he'd be one to watch, Dean. I really couldn't say confidently that I expect him to be there in round one.
He looked okay. He played that one run with role. On Zach Merritt last year. He looked okay. He's got a big engine, got a big heart. He tries really hard. But like you said, there's a lot of half forwards at the moment, and he might be on the outer next year. I mean, we do have about six or seven that are all around that mark. So he's really going to have to work hard for his spot. But, outside of half forward, wing, and maybe as a run with player, that's probably the only position he could play, couldn't he?
Well, I'd see him more likely playing round one if they reinvent him into a role like a run with player. But like you said, I think we'll be. It looks though we may be stacked with half forward type talent for round one, and he didn't do enough, I think, to hold that spot.
No, that's fair enough. Frank and Mark, now I'll mention some other players that probably are on the fringes of our best 23 next year. I'll get your opinion to see if they are in our best 23 or if you think they'll be in our round one, round two, round three team. I'll start with you, Mark. Charlie Lazaro had a good round 23, got 25 touches and looked pretty good. Do you think he's in our round one team next year?
No. No, I think he's depth. He'll be a depth player. I think and that's not a criticism of him. It's just how many players we've got playing in that role. I just think that's going to make it hard for him.
Yeah. Another midfielder, Frank, Tom Powell.
We'll struggle as well, I think. Though, I will give him some a bit of a benefit of the doubt. I don't know. He didn't seem to have that zip and confidence that he had in his sort of first year. So he didn't look the same Tom Powell, but on what he put up this year, he'd be struggling to play round one.
Yeah. What do you think his best position is? I mean, we've got a lot of midfielders. I've already mentioned, I mentioned Fife before. He wasn't in the mix. Could he play as a little bit of a small forward that pushes in for the occasional centre bounce?
Yeah, look, he did have some success there in a few games across half forward. I still think his talent in traffic with his hands are his biggest asset. And I don't know how much he can exploit that at half forward. But with the talent and possible recruits for the midfield, I think he's going to have to work a lot harder to get into that 22.
No. Yep, I'll probably agree with you there. I'm agreeing a lot with you boys this morning, I should say. Must be early Sunday mornings. I'm probably in a good mood. Mark, Callum Dawson.
I think he's a fair chance to start in the side. The way he finished the season, I thought he was very impressive against the Gold Coast. And I think he should have played a lot earlier than the final round of the season. I don't know if he played in the second last round. I don't think so. But, They left it too late to play him last year, and I think luckily he got that game and got himself another year on the list. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's in the starting side at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment we've got obviously Toby Pigs coming from Ben McKay. We've still got Griffin Logan for half a year, and at least half the year, I think. Aiden Corr. That's pretty much it. So he could be as that third defender or maybe the second defender next year. So I think the opportunity should be there for him if he's good enough. So that'll play out. Frank, Darcy Tucker.
I think he's going to battle to get into that 22. A depth player, I think, a guy that can come in and do a job or cover an injury for a couple of weeks, but I don't see him being a pivotal part of us moving up the ladder.
Now, it sort of seemed to fell out of favour at Fremantle as soon as they became a pretty good team. And I think if you're a good team, he's probably on your, he's on the outside looking in. But if you're a poor team and struggling, he's probably a player that plays regularly and, can do a role for you. He's not going to wow you with anything, but, he'll be a solid, consistent footballer. But I don't think he's got much more of a ceiling than what we've probably seen with him. So, I'd probably, if I had to take a guess now, I think he'd be on the outside looking in next year, especially with the recruits we've got and players that can play on the wing. So here we go. Now, Mark, last one, Callum Coleman-Jones. You think he'll get a go?
Yeah, I think he's got the best now that Charlie's going back or likely to or profess to be going back, it gives him the best chance he's had to get a real run at it. So he needs to have a big pre-season, and I think they should give him, at least the first three or four rounds to have a crack at it and see if he can get himself permanently in the side. I think that would help Nick Larkey, and I think give us a second option to have another big tall down there. But if it doesn't work out with him, I'm pretty confident George, Zerha, Ford are all very good marking forwards. It just means we're going to have to lower our eyes a bit more. But I think we've got good options forward. I think the forward line's the most exciting part of our team outside of the midfield that we've had for a long time. So, yeah, particularly with George coming in, I think that's going to be very interesting to see how he goes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to put too much expectation on Braden George just yet because it is basically his first real pre-season, first year at the club. So, I think he starts in the reserves. If he's the player we hope he is, then maybe around 6 or 7 he starts getting into the team. So, yeah, I mean, obviously with Callum Coleman-Jones, we seemed to play right the last round when we moved the ball quite quick. It doesn't matter who you got forward. You probably don't really need that second big forward if you're going to move it with a lot of pace and speed through the middle of the ground and counter-attacking the half-back flank. So, yeah, hopefully we can, see in pre-season that sort of game plan. I think with the recruits that we've gotten, boys, and you probably both agree that we're certainly going to play a lot faster and quicker next year. So, yeah, hopefully it's going to be exciting times. Frank, that's all I have. You want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, Dean. Hopefully we don't hear anything about pick 2 and 3 going out the window for some, magic beans between now and the draft, and I'll be more than happy.
No, sounds good. Mark, you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, I agree with Frank on that. I'm looking forward to 4 or 5 gun kids coming into the club to set us up for the next decade.
No, that sounds good. Well, the draft isn't far away, so just over a month, I think. So, yeah, hopefully we can rebuild and go forward next year. So, boys, thank you very much for coming on Sunday morning. It's very early. Both of you have got one of you, I think both of you may be even in your car doing this. So that's a pretty good commitment. Frank, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
So thank you very much to Frank and Mark for coming on the show once again. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets and comments you'll put out for this show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this show without your support. So if you can leave a rating review on your favorite podcast platform use as well, that would be awesome. I will be back either maybe tomorrow night or Tuesday to go through the girls game that happened last night. I haven't watched the game. I had something on. I did see the scores, so obviously a disappointing loss for those girls. But I'll have Claire Cozzi on to talk about that. Anyways, that's it. Enjoy your Sunday. I've lost my words. It's very early on a Sunday morning here. So, enjoy your Sunday. And, I'll be back soon. So today, I will leave a shout-out to Toby Pink, the newest recruit for the North Melbourne Football Club. Bye for now, and go Roos.